The topic that I selected, the title, was Sacred Sounds, and I thought I'd start speaking on this topic by referring to two very nice verses from our very wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam. They're in the 8th chapter of the 2nd canto, where Shukadeva Goswami is appreciating the wonderful katha that he's hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. Prakshit is hearing wonderful messages, and he's expressing what his experience is. He's eager to hear more. So he asks, there's three verses in sequence, 3, 4, and 5. He asks Shukadeva Goswami basically, more, please. And I'm going to read 4 and 5.
Śrīṇvatāśrādhāyā nityam granantascha chateṣṭitam kālena nādi dīrgena bhagavān viśate hṛdi.
Persons who hear Śrīmad Bhāgavatam regularly, that's like soft translation for nityam. Nityam means eternally or always, regularly. And granantascha svacheshtitam, taking the matter svacheshtitam, that's a strong word. Nityam is also, but svacheshtitam, very sincerely, very seriously, and that's a quality, and with great endeavor, so striving eagerly. So he's already expressed he has that eagerness. More, more. And kalina nati dirgena bhagavan vishate hridi, vishate hridi. He becomes manifest within the heart very quickly. Maharaj Pariksit is experiencing that in the 2nd canto. So what to speak of as the cantos progress and progress for non-stop 7 days without eating, without sleeping, without drinking water. That's a pretty intense fast. But he's so absorbed with Krishna situated, Bhagavan Vishate Hridi, situated palpably experiencing him within his heart. It's please continue. And then this next verse is a favorite for many, so one of my favorites. Pravishtakarna randrena svanam bhava saroruham tunoti shambalam krishnaha Salilasya yatasharat. Pravishta means to enter. Like we entered through the, well, some came through that door, but most of us came through that door. Pravishta, the entryway. And the ear is the entryway for spiritual sound or sacred sounds. Pravishta karna randrena. That's the hole in the ear. It enters into the ear. Svanam bhava sarorohum. Svanam is translated as according to one's liberated position. Svanam bhava is our constitutional relationship. That's the word for word. Prabhupada's word for word. Saroruham, lotus flower. So it enters into the... This Srimad Bhagavatam message, when heard properly, enters into the ear. It goes into the chamber of the heart and sits upon the natural bhava, constitutional relationship that one has with Krishna, and it has an action. The action is dunoti shamalam. Dunoti means to cleanse, and shamalam means everything yucky. All material qualities like lust, anger, avarice, hankering, etc. All material qualities. That's the shamalam. All of them. Krishna cleanses all of that from the heart. So the heart needs to become cleansed before one can... Like the... The Leela of Krishna's appearance is described by our acharyas this way, that the first six sons of Devahuti were representative of six enemies of the living entity. Not that children are enemies of a living entity. These particular sons had that representation. And then the seventh son was Lord Balaram. So as Devaki became purged from or purified of those worldly contaminations, Balaram entered and prepared the way for Krishna to appear. So then Krishna appeared in that purified condition of Devaki's heart, first from her mind, from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki and into the womb of Devaki, and then he appeared in their prison house. So the sound of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this Harikatha, as we were discussing this morning, this Harikatha, just to repeat it because it's so nice, is the Swarup Shakti, or the internal potency of the name of Krishna. Kirtan. Krishna Katha. So Radha, as Radha and Krishna go together, they can't be separated. The two go together. And the action of the Srimad Bhagavatam entering into the holes of the ear, not like any worldly sound, doesn't do the same thing. Sacred sound or transcendental sound or Vishuddha Sattva sound enters into the chamber of the heart and the lotus of one's constitutional emotion in relation to Krishna, and all impure things become dunoti shamalam Krishnaha. And it gives then the last part, yata salilasha yata sharat. So we know what sharat is. It's the autumn season. One of the seasons when Krishna performed rasa dance is the full moon night of the Sharat season. Of course, he didn't restrict himself to that time, but it was a special time. Chapter 29, he liked very much. After the rain, and then everything is in full bloom, and the fragrances of the flowers in their full bloom, and the full moon night, and Krishna's loving attraction in amorous way awoken, so he called upon his internal potency to assist him in fulfilling his desire. So as Krishna is experiencing like that, the autumn season follows the rainy season, which follows the scorching hot summer season. So the scorching hot, not like Chicago, like Vrindavan, is hot. It's like an oven. and then the rain comes. Not so much rain, but this year they got a lot of rain in Vrindavan during the rainy season. And as the rain comes, then the rivers become full, and the movement of the river makes for muddy water in the river, and then extra lakes form. And then the autumn is where very light rain comes. And the light rain has this effect that all the mud that's kind of suspended in that pool of water, the lake, somehow, I don't know what the law of physics is, but the mud settles out quickly, and then one can see to the bottom of the lake. So one can similarly see oneself and see Krishna through the medium of the sound vibration. Of course, the sound vibration of Krishna Katha is not different than Krishna also. But to make the heart clean, it takes this, there's nothing that can compare to it. The other processes of yoga, or linking with the Supreme, using a metaphor from the Bhagavatam, it's something like taking wet wood and making it dry wood. But the purpose of the wet wood becoming dry wood is so that it can ignite. You can have fire. And that fire is the constitutional relationship of the living entity, so that one can engage in one's constitutional relationship of loving service. So this previous verse says very quickly, persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. Of course, he's already there, but we don't see him, or we're not aware of his presence, we're not feeling his presence because of the contaminations of heart. And this transcendental sound vibration acts exactly in that way of it eradicates all the contamination. Dhanoti shamalam krishnaha salila shayata asharat. Very, very beautiful poetic expression. And this is Maharaj Parikshit speaking, and when Sutta Goswami speaks a very similar idea, I will wager, we don't bet. It's one of our things we don't do. But if we did, I would bet that the following verse will be spoken here in this temple room many times. Srinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, because our topic is Shravana Kirtanam in Vishnu. Maybe it's already been spoken several times, but Shrin Vita Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Punya means piety, and a little important reference from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is being quoted as describing that there are different kinds of punya or sukriti, pious merit. Normally when we think of piety, at least in the West, probably also in India, one thinks of the material kind, like, you know, charitable work and doing things to help other people on the physical platform, opening hospitals and church and schools. And the classic from Vedic text is digging wells and planting trees by the side of the road. It's commonly referred to in many cases. This is a pious act. And from that pious act, it's, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's language, bhog, unmukhi sukriti. One gets piety through those activities. But then there's another category, and that's that which gives punya or sukriti, that gives liberation. Moksh anmukhi sukriti. And the example that's given, the classic, is reading the Upanishads and philosophical texts like that that point to the non-relative absolute, the undifferentiated Brahman, at least it seems to them that it points to there, desiring then not some worldly improvement but liberation. And then there's a third kind that this Shrinvatasvakata Krishna Punya Shravanakirtana, it's the bhakti kind. Just by hearing, this message, Prabhupada wanted so much for centers to be established for the purpose of exactly what we're doing right now, for people to hear. People to hear transcendental life. He would say like this, many of our temples formerly were churches, he would say. And, you know, I could list them. There were many. The Toronto Temple, Montreal Temple, the Los Angeles Temple, the Brooklyn Temple. You know, so many temples were the Houston Temple. Previously were churches, and people were not attending. Prabhupada made the point. But now, there are many people that are attending, and why is it? And his answer to his own question was, there is life. And life attracts life. And that life is kirtan and Krishna katha and, of course, you know, worship of the deity, but worship of the deity follows these two. Before there was deities, there was Krishna katha. And when there's deities, there's Krishna katha. In Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha, nice little reference, you can, those of you that have a copy, you can look it up later. Anuchhed 148 and 49, he describes there are something that we hear in nectar devotion is there's nine processes of bhakti, and any one of them, he also indicates, any one of them is sufficient to awaken, bring one to the stage of love of God. Some people are attracted to different ones. But he comments that all of them must be accompanied with chanting. And the others flow from chanting. Of course, chanting starts with hearing. But hearing isn't passive, hearing is active, and it leads to chanting, and all the, it's a deity worship with chanting, and prayer with chanting, and serving lotus feet with chanting. They're incomplete without chanting. So, hearing and chanting, this is our foundation of Bhagavat Dharma. It's our life. Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching Bhagavat Dharma, and it's our life of hearing and chanting. There's a reference in Padma Purana where it similarly says, just from chanting the name of Krishna sincerely, all the benefits that can be derived by perfectly performing any of the yoga systems are automatically accomplished, and beyond things that those yoga systems can't accomplish. So the topic is sacred sound. That sound vibration, there's material, there's liberation, there's beyond liberation, sound. That's the sound of Krishna's name, and within Krishna's name, and of course, everything is there, and within the Srimad Bhagavatam, in elaborated form, everything is there. Prabhupada has taught that there's 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the heavenly planet, it's 100,000 verses. This is like, you know, an abridged version. The katha can be endless, more than 100,000 verses. Endless. The topics of Krishna are endless. And because he, that the topic or the object or that's being spoken of in Srimad Bhagavatam and the name of Krishna similarly, he is beyond the modes of nature. He is constituted of Vishuddha Sattva. It's not a small point. It's so expanded a little bit. According to Bhagavad Gita, the mode of goodness is there, and the mode of passion and ignorance. And when there's mode of goodness, there's also a mixture of passion and ignorance. So Krishna is not just mode of goodness. Krishna, his form, name, qualities, his abode, everything, is Vishuddha Sattva. So one, it means without any trace of passion or ignorance, and for that matter also goodness. There's no material goodness. It's all pure goodness. Where there's not a trace of the modes of nature. And when one brings one's consciousness in contact with that, one's consciousness becomes progressively purified up to that standard. And as the verse is saying, Krishna appears within the heart very quickly. If one, that chanting is done in an attentive and qualitative way, we can't say that of the other processes. In fact, I really like this one. Kapila Dev, I liked the verse so much I went back and spoke on it again. It's already like part of the recordings from the third canto. But Kapila Dev teaches Devahuti that this power of bhakti is so powerful that it dissolves the subtle body. Think about that for a moment. No more material mind. Pretty cool, huh? Yay! Through the kind of devotion that's awakened through this kind of chanting that's being described. Sacred sound. So we were reading this past week. I was requested to speak on Krishna's childhood pastimes in Vrindavan. And it repeated again and again and again and again and again that when there was some difficulty because of their virtuous nature, Mother Jasoda called for brahmanas to chant sacred mantras to protect Krishna from the affliction that may have come from some bad omen or a ghost or something. So just to create auspiciousness along with the tail of a cow, moving the tail of a cow before Krishna, bathing Krishna in cow urine and because it's pure, and her own prayers to Lord Narayana. And after she did that, Nanda Maharaj got some other set of brahmanas, and he had them chant their mantras. Now, this is Vrindavan, where the sound vibrations of those who are fixed in pure devotion, because that's the eligibility for being in Vrindavan, it's not the karmakanda kind. Anyway, I'll spend a little bit of time with this. In Brahma Samhita, in verse 5, it describes all the things that are there in Goloka. Specifically, it's speaking of the region outside of the world where Krishna, Radha Krishna, and the residences of the intimate associates of Krishna, but the abode of Mathura and Dwaraka and what's called Swetadweep, that area surrounding the lotus that makes up Goloka, Vrindavan. And in that region of Goloka, the four Vedas are there. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asks the question and then answers, what are the four Vedas doing here? Because these four Vedas primarily, Rig Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Veda are dealing with material elevation, karmakanda. How to get, fulfill your desire in a pious way, and you say these different, with a qualified Brahmana uttering certain prayers or mantras to achieve wealth and health and prosperity and longevity and, you know, good fortune. So what are these four Vedas doing in the spiritual world? We don't need those things. And the answer is, they have one business. They're just glorifying Krishna, that's all. They don't have any... The purpose for them here is because we have affinity for matter and they're assisting us in that regard. But in Goloka, there's no need. So in Braja, these... doesn't say what the mantras were that the Brahmanas were chanting, but it's similar to the young girls who were worshipping Katyayani in order to have Krishna as their husband. And our acharyas explained, it's not the demigoddess Katyayani that's of this world. These are gopis. And the form that they were worshipping, they made from mud because they didn't have money. They didn't build a nice temple and elaborate deity worship. They made the fashioned from mud, Katyayani. But the Katyayani that they were worshipping was the internal potency of Krishna, Yogamaya. Because she's the source of every expansion of hers. And so the gopis aren't interested in something material. They're interested in Krishna. So how do you get access to Krishna except through the internal potency? Our acharyas explain. They were worshipping the internal potency. Because that's their bhakti. That's their devotion. That's their love. They want a relationship with Krishna. So sound vibration very much depends upon the consciousness that one has. And if one is aspiring for relationship with Krishna, then Krishna Katas, that's the sound vibration, and exclusive of others. And even if there's others, just like we read this morning from those who were in Bhakti Siddhanta's association, he would constantly speak about Krishna. Even in ordinary circumstances, he would speak about Krishna. Even he was making some reference, just reading before coming down here, Jai Jagannath loaned his book to me because of Bhakti Siddhanta's disappearance day. I wanted to read some things in relation to chanting, which is our topic. So, one time Bhakti Siddhanta was visiting in the home of a man who was a military personality, high-ranking military personality with the government. So, but he was a pious man. So Bhakti Siddhanta gave some explanations, just like something to this effect. Just like when military comes to invade in a foreign land, their business is to take over the land and take over the territory. So similarly, he said, this is the way of Harikatha. It's meant to invade your heart and take over your heart. And he's just like, basically told him, that's what I'm here for. I'm here with my army of sound vibration to take over your heart and conquer your heart. And he did. The man was very moved by Bhakti Siddhanta's very powerful and pure message of Harikatha, Krishna consciousness. So, this, two other little things I wanted to share. Harikatha, or sacred sound vibration, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, is for the topmost personalities, the Paramahamsa Vaishnavas, those who are already perfect, those who are beyond any material attraction are attracted, and down to the lowest. We're somewhere closer to that side than the other side. The classic verse is Shukadeva Goswami. This comes right after, according to Narada's instructions to Vyas, he situated himself in trance. Lord Vishnu appeared in his trance and he saw many things and understood many things. He understood the literature that he had to compile under Narada's instruction, simply describing the personality of Godhead and the relationship of the living entities with him and the relationship of the material energy with him. And the effect of one who hears that message was his realization. So he then began compiling, and then he instructed the same to Shukadeva Goswami, and then Shukadeva Goswami underwent the study of that Srimad Bhagavatam. And then there's a verse where the sages of Naimisharanya say, wait a minute, time out. Shukadeva Goswami studied something? I mean, people study something because they need something. So he doesn't need anything. He's a liberated soul. He's a Brahman realized soul. Why did he study something? And then the reply is, he studied because this Srimad Bhagavatam is attractive for those who are beyond material attraction. It's truly sacred sound. Not something that by worldly means, or say by religious ritual, there's a sound of a gong, boom, like in Buddhism, or something like that, where it helps one be very focused, drive away other sounds, and just that one sound, and focus your mind on one sound, and the sound's over, and then your mind wanders again. Okay, do it again. But, you know, this is sacred sound that doesn't, it's eternal. It brings one in contact with the eternal. It's truly sacred sound. So, Atmaramas Chamunayo, Nir Granta Api Arukrame, Kurvanti Ahaikutim Bhaktim. So, this is the position of the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the sound of Krishna's name is beneficial and all attractive, even for those who have no material attraction. It's fully spiritual, unique. Fully spiritual. No tinge of anything. So one who comes in contact with that sacred sound becomes especially purified. And that sound vibration is equally beneficial and even attractive to sinful people. It was compiled in anticipation of the age of Kali coming. That's why Vyasadeva compiled the Vedas to begin with. So it's a literature for the people, the victims of this age of Kali. Janata Agha Viplava. They're Janata Agha, infested with sin, in a greatly unfortunate, compromised situation. Completely unnatural for the soul. Toxic atmosphere. One can become relieved altogether of that condition just by hearing the sound vibration. And that means so from the topmost to the bottommost and everybody in between. Now, we're recommended specifically in the verse that, the two verses, if one regularly nityam and svacheshtitam, seriously with great endeavor, sincere endeavor, two qualifications, regularly and sincere and steady endeavor, then Krishna very quickly becomes established in one's heart. And those nice things happen. But supposing one is, you know, it can't be concentrated in anything because of material contamination. Now, and certainly on the far other end, Shishi Kishor Kishori Ki Jai. On the far other end is Shishupal. We mentioned this morning, Shishupal achieved liberation. Even he was a nasty, nasty person, because, according to Narada, he chanted Krishna's name a lot, in scorn and derision. But he chanted Krishna's name a lot. So he got liberation. And maybe you all have some personal experience, but I can share with you in conclusion something that I, with great fortune, I had a nice realization or opportunity to experience something when I was a very new devotee about the power of the holy name, which, you know, there are many other stories that followed that one, but this is kind of outstanding. When I was still in undergraduate school in college, one of the places that I visited to explore for graduate school was Boston, because there's so many schools in Boston. And there was another couple of people that wanted to also go to Boston, so we got it packed up in a car and off we went to Boston. And when I was in Boston, I visited the temple. They didn't, because they didn't like Krishna consciousness, but I went to the temple, and it was such a nice experience that, you know, several things happened, and I decided I wanted to jump in the pool. So I just jumped in the pool and moved in the ashram, the Hare Krishna temple. And it was a month before that I got to go on Harinam, because they thought I was a good pot washer, so I got to wash pots for a month and cleanse my heart. And then I got to go on Harinam and book distribution, you know, Sankirtan. And the place where we went on Sankirtan was Boston Common, which is a fantastic place because the Green Line and the Red Line both have a stop right there. And right down the road is Washington Street, where there's like lots of shopping. And it was especially really good during lunch break, because many people came to go to the park, because Boston Common is right to the corner of a large park. So, you know, we had this practice that we would chant for half an hour, and then somebody would speak to whoever was gathered to, you know, wonder what we were doing. Very similar to what Dravida was saying, you know, chant and then speak something, and then we would change, and so that the people that were chanting would go distribute back to Godhead magazines, and then the people that were distributing back to Godhead magazines came and chanted. So I was like this new guy with, you know, my dungarees and my hair, and, you know, looking like a new guy. And there was this, so I was like reluctant. And it was Sansarup Maharaj. He didn't take reluctance for an answer. He just, you know, just pointed, said, you go. And put the, here's the magazines, here's the card, and go. So it's just, okay. Invite people to the temple and see if people that don't want a Hare Krishna magazine take a Hare Krishna magazine. You know. So, there was one crazy person who came out for his entire lunch. I don't think he even ate lunch. I think he just came and carried on like a crazy person. And he was, you know, inimical, crazy person. So, when he saw me going out, I was like, I was, you know, cool, I'm going to get this guy. So his program was, he would wait kind of at a distance until people not only took a card but took a magazine, and he'd come screaming in high tone, shrill tone, and say, don't take this magazine, it's awful, and scream and yell. The people would just be terrified by the sound vibration of this person. And I remember, you know, he would sometimes take it from their hand and throw it on the ground and jump up and down in the magazine like he was killing Krishna or something. And then he'd go away and people didn't want to take the magazine after that happened. They kept doing it. So Jai Dvaita Maharaj was with our Harinama, you know, so I took shelter of Jai Dvaita Maharaj and said, what do I do? What do I do? He said, don't worry. Just continue. I'll take care of this. Okay? So I went and did it again. And Jai Dvaita Maharaj waited for the right moment when he came up and he went, Jai Dvaita Maharaj ran up and with his hands cupped like this, he went, right in the guy's ear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And the guy put his hands on his ears and started running down the street. I said, wow, that was pretty good. And he said, Krishna says right in the Bhagavad Gita, the devotees derive great pleasure and the devotees flee here and there. But still the man kept coming every day and every day and every day. So I was there for the whole summer. And by the end of the summer, instead of running up and telling people, don't take the magazine, he was still mad. He'd run up and tell people, take the magazine, it's really good, take the magazine. I don't know what happened after that because I was a trade to go to New York and somebody ran the printing press and I came to New York to do Harinam in the winter in New York instead of Boston. But there's other examples. Some of them happened right here in Chicago at the airport during those days. But, you know, the sound of the holy name, even if not nityam and svacheshtitam, it purifies because it's absolute. So what to speak? If one sincerely makes the endeavor to hear this sacred sound, something that no other possible activity that out of all the possible activities that one can do can bring to you. Again, referring to this Padma Purana verse. Beyond. It includes and is beyond. All the subsets of those other things are already included and beyond. Just in this one activity. While there may be other sounds that are making dry wood into wet wood, this ignites. Even if the wood is wet, it dries it quickly and ignites it quickly. Because it's Krishna. And the all pure Krishna in contact with others makes one pure. So we want to experience that. And we want to give others the opportunity. This is the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We want to give others that opportunity. So we do here like we're doing in the temple together. And we should make arrangements to bring the same opportunity to others outside the temple. Because it's the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like we heard from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur this morning. One who does like that pleases Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much. And when you please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when you get the favor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you get the favor of Srimati Radharani. And you get the favor of Srimati Radharani, you get the favor of Krishna. You're in. So the all-merciful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this process, and through disciplic succession it's come to us through Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We're honoring him on his disappearance day, and our founder Charya Srila Prabhupada, and now that mantle, the opportunity, the privilege, the great honor of receiving and giving to others is now in our hand. To receive it and carry it forward. Be the instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his wonderful associates to receive their gift and in turn to give to others. Hare Krishna. So any comments or discussion? Questions? Yes.
Thanks for the wonderful class, Maharaj. Just a clarifying question.
Speak slowly, please. I heard you. Speak slowly.
So, you mentioned in the class that Vishuddha Sattva is spiritual goodness, that is not even material goodness.
That's correct.
I'm not sure if you could elaborate or give some examples.
Sure.
And also explain how these relate to, what is Shuddha Sattva? Is it the same as Vishuddha Sattva?
No. Yes. Shuddha and Vishuddha are practically synonymous. Shuddha means pure, and Vishuddha means very pure. But they mean the same. It refers to the spiritual realm, Vaikuntha realm, Goloka realm. Sattva refers to this realm. And in this realm, from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, where the mode of goodness is there, the other modes are also present and competing for supremacy. Correct? 14th chapter. Shuddha or Vishuddha is none of that. None of the three modes, including goodness, material goodness, because material goodness has the other mixed. So Shuddha or Vishuddha, commonly it's Vishuddha Sattva, is the transcendental realm. And Krishna's existence and his abode and his activities and everything in relation to him directly is of that same Vishuddha Sattva quality. Okay?
Just to check if I understood properly, if one is able to be completely in goodness, that is Shuddha Sattva, but that's not possible in material realm.
Correct. It's like to make a comparison. Chidananda, can you lean that way so I can see him? You've heard Bhaktisiddhanta's statement that in this world there is no love. Meaning, if where there is love, that's the spiritual world. So what's here that's under the name of love is a mixture at best. It's one's own self-interest, one's own happiness. While there certainly is sacrifice in the quality of goodness, what one is experiencing is the happiness of the mode of goodness, where one becomes conditioned by a sense of happiness. So love, in the transcendental sense, doesn't exist in the material realm. Where there is pure love, that person and that quality is in the spiritual world. That clarify? Similarly, we're in this world. We're contaminated by it. We're dirtied. Shalilam. But we can become Shuddha or Vishuddha by contact with the supreme Vishuddha, Krishna. That's the advocacy of the Bhagavatam. Okay? Anything else? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, I might have got things mixed up a little bit, but I wanted to clarify. We hear that when we chant, and if we are not attentive, then just like pouring water on in soil, then weeds can also grow, and chanting can feed those weeds. So similarly, anarthas can grow in the heart if the chanting is not attentive. And we also hear that
everything is fine so far, keep going.
And then we also hear that when we that even Namabhas chanting can uproot all our reactions. So
the potency is there. The potency is there.
So are they are not contradictory to each other, these two?
I don't
two
see
students.
A contradiction, do you?
So
you're a PhD, maybe you see a contradiction.
Maybe that's why I see a contradiction. So like if I'm chanting and I'm not fully attentive, then is it going to uproot the reaction.
The potency is there. Now, each of us experienced that potency in a different way, in different degrees, and in a different way. But the potency is there, even in the reflection of, what to speak of, Shuddhanam. The potency is there. Unfortunately, we continue to make offenses. That's the problem. All right? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for class, Maharaj. My question, how does one qualify himself to approach a guru to take instruction from? If they're like at a beginning stage, but they're endeavoring to get better instruction.
That's all it takes. You know, it's not a formality. It's a matter of sincerity. It's a matter of sincerity, or eagerness, or sincerity. There's a chapter in Nectar Devotion called Eligibility of a Candidate for Devotional Service. You can look at it later. And the question is raised, who is eligible? He doesn't mess around with, you know, there's lots of other things that aren't really criterion. The main qualification is sincerity. So you stated it. Now that sincerity can amplify and magnify and so forth, but the prerequisite is sincerity. So when one is sincere, that's the eligibility that's required. Now, second point. There are many persons who are, you know, this is a guru tattva topic, but there are many persons who are performing the service of guiding others. That's called shiksha. You've heard that term. Okay. Instructing persons. So those persons are also instructing persons, instructing gurus, or instructing teachers in our Western language. They're approachable too. Not just like somebody who's a initiating person, that's the guru, and the others are not. The others are also instructing gurus. And according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're to be respected equally. Now, the culture needs to be strengthened, but that's what scripture says. They're to be respected equally. So, approach them. Approach such persons that you, according to the experience that you have had and the readings that you've read, and here's a person that's genuine. I want to hear their instructions. You approach them. Why? And the qualification is you're sincere. All right? Jumana Jivana. Thought you had a question. No, just teasing. I was going to call in Gopinath, but I thought I would say your name. Gopinath. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
Somewhat a follow-up of this question.
Which?
Prabhu asked a question about sincerity.
Okay.
So, we have four regulative principles as a requirement.
Yeah.
For approaching and taking initiation.
That's for initiation, not approaching.
Okay. And do we have a scriptural basis for this requirement?
Yes. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. Ask Jai Jagannath, he'll give you the verses. He'll show you in the book. It's in the section with Maharaj Parikshit stopping the personality of Kali because he had broken three legs and one was remaining. It's in that section. It's explicit. Okay? That's the scriptural reference. Okay? Yes. Here comes the microphone. You have to move it. It doesn't fly in the air. Okay. You got to push the button on the bottom, though. Want to help her? Okay, good.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I have two questions.
Can you speak into the microphone, please?
I have two questions,
okay.
Maharaj.
Yeah.
The first one is, like you mentioned in the class, that the sacred sounds, the effect of the sacred sounds depend on the consciousness of one, how you hear them.
Yes.
So I wanted to know what kind of consciousness one should cultivate. Like, what is that consciousness?
Nityam and Swacheshtitam. How about those two?
So, Nityam means
what's
like,
your second question?
No, the first. Nityam, I understand, like, eternally. You said, like, for Nityam, it's eternally means always. What's the second one?
Okay. You remember what the meaning of Swacheshtitam is?
No.
Okay.
No? I don't remember.
You don't remember? Okay. I'll say it again. Seriously, by one's own endeavor, sincerely. So like, in a Prabhupada's expression, is like a child calling from their mother. You know what that sound is? We hear it all the time. That sound. That from the heart, that kind of calling. Next time you hear a child calling for their mother, listen to the quality of that sound. Like that. You don't have to scream it though, but. And your second question.
Maharaj, I was reading like Krishna book, and in that one, always after every chapter, like it's mentioned that a Falshruti, that this is the benefit one will have after hearing this chapter. Like it's there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Many chapters that, okay.
Yeah, many, not always. Go ahead.
So, I just wanted to know that, is this the right consciousness that we are hearing this chapter because of some phal? Because in some, it's not the, like, ultimately the most important fruit is to get the love of Krishna. But that's not what the phal shruti for all the chapters. So.
Well, for some people it's really important. And for other people, just hearing itself is sufficient. So, Vyasadeva was writing for everybody, right? Like, you know, the Janata Aga and the Paramahansa. So that's, you know, some persons, that inspires them to hear such and such. Okay? Anything else on this side? Okay. Thank you very much. Prabhupada Ki Jai.